You're listening to Movie Sucktastic.
I do not have a vagina. And he does not have a penis.
Don't
have genitals.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
I have
all the genitals. All right, last movie of the week.
Well, tonight.
Of the week. Yeah. See, I did a dramatic pause there.
Sorry, I jumped. I ruined it. Sorry.
You did. It's fine.
Sorry.
I still love you.
Okay.
What is the dog barking at? Why is the dog barking?
I have no idea. This is Movie Sucktastic. I'm Scott. That's Joey.
Hi.
And this is... And this is Anatomy of a Fall.
It is.
It is.
Can I say something real quick? I actually meant to say it at the beginning of the last episode.
Sure.
I'm creating a new website for us, and I just actually want to commend Scott, my co-host. Your host out there in podcast land, for doing such an amazing job getting a lot of our episodes that didn't have video episodes on YouTube, because as I'm creating this website, one of the things you're going to be able to do is you're going to be able to listen to the show, you're going to be able to download it, and you're going to be able to click a link and it'll take you to the YouTube page and watch the episode with our slideshows. And some of them have videos. Those are the ones that YouTube, you know, didn't have taken down. But I just want to say thank you. There's so many episodes that I didn't think that we actually had, because Scott kind of runs the YouTube page for the most part. So
Joey does everything else.
I just want to say thank you. It's really nice being able to go there and design this website and actually be able to provide a video link to the episode for nearly all of them.
It's honestly my pleasure, sir. I'm trying to get back to the real old episodes and divvy them up, because we weren't as formatted as we are now when we started 15 years ago.
So I want to apologize for what I'm about to say next.
Oh, shit.
For a lot of the episodes that Scott worked so hard for on getting on the page, on the YouTube page, I actually do have video for those episodes. So... and I actually have software where I can remove the video background and put Scott's slideshow, and you can actually see video of us. Now, this is a conversation I'll have with Scott to see how important that is to us. But I do have hundreds of hours of video that I could use. All I need is the slideshow that you created. So that is a separate conversation later. But
good, but yeah.
What we're doing this episode is we're reviewing our eighth Oscar-nominated film, Anatomy of a Fall.
Eighth Best Picture nominated, yes.
Yeah. Is it a French movie? Is it an English movie? Is it both? It's not nominated for Best... It's not nominated for Best...
foreign.
International.
For international.
International.
International,
that's where I was getting hung up. I'm like, they don't call it foreign anymore.
They keep changing the name, yeah.
Yeah. So, it's interesting because I would say, for the most part, this is a French film.
Yeah.
And I don't understand the logic of why some of it is in English. I really don't. It's a film that probably didn't have to be in English at all. Because she does speak French. She does apologize at one point in the film to her attorney, saying, I'm sorry that my French isn't better. But I thought when she speaks French... pretty damn good.
Well, this may be more confusing for you and I because we are stupid white Americans, and we don't have the experience of other countries that are naturally multilingual.
Right.
We're used to everybody speaking one language, and you know that's American.
Well,
so
I don't mind that it has two languages. No. I just don't. I just don't think I understand the logic behind it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So it's weird to you because you're not used to multilingual. You know, so it's they just made a decision, and it also has to do with the character. I want to jump back before I touch that because that's going to get into too much.
Well, I have a story.
Spoiler alert.
I have a story.
Spoiler alert. What?
I have a story.
Okay.
My journey of watching this movie.
All right. So just want to say, spoiler alert.
Yes.
And it's not a mystery.
It certainly is not.
What's your story?
Okay. So my story is, now this film is up for Best Director and original mm-hmm. screenplay and film mm-hmm. editing. So mm-hmm. keep in mind that those three nominations take into account my story. Okay?
Okay.
I'll make it quick, though.
All right.
So, I got the movie. I was able to acquire a digital copy of this film.
Mm-hmm.
And start the movie, and I'm watching it. Mm-hmm. I'm about 10, 12 minutes in. Did this happen to you too? No. Do you know where I'm going with this? No. Okay.
Yeah.
10 or 12 minutes in, the movie starts out with a conversation between her and another woman, right? And it shows...
Sorry.
It shows her with this conversation. Then loud music starts playing, right? This is the copy that I'm mm-hmm. watching. Then it shows a ball bounce down the steps. Dog retrieves the mm-hmm. ball. Dog looks kind of perplexed, which is probably realistically the trainer on the other side. Movie magic, right? Dog goes mm-hmm. back up the stairs. Then it goes to a conversation between her and her, or the music gets very, very loud. The music gets very, very loud, and then they, because she's being interviewed, they decide to cancel the interview and do it at a different time. Then it transitions to her and her husband having a conversation in the kitchen. No. This is my story. This is my story.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. This is my story.
Okay.
Goes to a... I'm going somewhere. There is a transition to her having dinner in the kitchen and a conversation about time, and that he feels that his time is being wasted and she owes him time. And then after that scene, it goes to black right into the courtroom. Then So then now there's the courtroom scene, and the judge is talking about how the prosecutor or the chief is there, and she's going to go talk to him. And then the two kids come out. They walk into the courtroom. They go and they sit down. And then it goes to black briefly. Ball bounces down the stairs. Okay? bounces down the stairs. Dog retrieves the ball. Dog retrieves the ball. Dog looks perplexed, goes back up the stairs. And then the entire scene of her with the woman is all over again. And then it goes mm-hmm. into the kitchen where they're arguing. And then it goes back to the courtroom. And I'm like, this movie's up for director, film editing, and screenplay. And I'm like...
Quick question.
Yes.
Quick question.
Yes.
How many times did it loop before you realized it wasn't the film?
I'm getting to that. So, so I'm like... And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I'm watching this. And I'm like, okay. The first time so I watch all of that, and then it loops to the ball bouncing. And I'm like, okay, something's weird. But maybe this is the director saying, you missed something. Let's do this again. Because it's up for Best Picture, Best Director, screenplay, and film editing. Okay? Then I watch all of that again, and the ball bounces down. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So I fast forward, like, an hour in, and the ball bounces. And I'm like, motherfucker. Somebody took the first 12, 13 minutes of this movie. Oh, it's not even the first 12 or 13. They took chunks from different parts, made it like a 12 or 13 minute short film, and then made it 2.5 hours long, because that's how long the movie is.
Right.
And then, like, fucking uploaded it to the internet. It just is probably the studio. Who knows? I wouldn't doubt if it was the studio.
Okay, so the film was a mystery for you.
Well, I wasted about 20 minutes. Like, that's why I'm actually 20 minutes late tonight, because I actually watched this today. I told Scott I would be on at 7, and I got on at 7:20, because I lost 20 minutes with this whole loop bullshit. So I finally got a real digital copy of the film and watched it, and I'm like, oh, this is much better. Now,
the only problem I had was getting a good set of subtitles.
I ended up getting subtitles that just played throughout the whole film. I hate it when there's subtitles for the English parts, but...
Oh,
I couldn't find subtitles for just the foreign speaking parts. Uh-huh. I will do that at another time, when a better copy is made available. But yes, so that's my story. So, like, that whole, like, let me just say this. There is nothing hidden in any of that, because I saw it 2.5 times. Because I'm like, all right, I'm really going to pay attention. They're doing it again. It must be for a reason.
So the funny thing is, one of the reasons I start with the spoiler saying this isn't a whodunit is because I actually read, that's one of the few things I knew about this film before going into it, but I forgot. And about halfway through, I actually remember thinking to myself, did I miss the thing with the ball scene? Should I go back? I was like, but no, it's too long. I'm not doing that. And so I forgot that this film is about the how her life is put out to torn apart and put on display and examined and exposed during this trial. But I was so hung up on what's the blind kid going to find?
Because that's what we're used to.
Blind kid, no.
That's what we're used to. Even when near the end of the movie, where he goes up into the attic area, I'm like, oh, what's he gonna? Something's going on. He's gonna be like realize something. Like, oh, that blurry thing that I saw was really this. It's like, no, there's none of that. The director leaves it open to interpretation, even when it ends.
But I think my problem is by putting a blind child in this situation, where nobody knows who did it because no one witnessed a murder.
Right.
Having a blind child not witness a murder, it's like he's not blind, so he doesn't witness it because he wasn't even there when it happened. Not murder, accident that they don't know is murder. I'm sorry. And you see where my mind's going.
Yeah.
But so by making the kid blind, like automatically we're just used to that being, okay, so they've done this, so his other senses are heightened. And he's going to notice something. It's like, what the... You know, I'm totally not watching the same thing.
Not Daredevil.
Yeah, it's not Daredevil at all.
And I think the director of this film probably, like everybody else, watched that documentary, The Staircase, and was like, that's kind of a neat idea.
I thought this was what it was when I first heard about it. Really? That's got to be The Staircase guy. Yeah, because I've seen it like 10 different ways.
Well, they did make a movie. They did make a movie based on
that
documentary.
Yeah.
It came out... I think 10 or 12 years ago, something like that.
I saw like 2 documentaries and 4 YouTube videos. It's like, yeah, that's just... So it's definitely like that kind of thing. Or, well, I mean, he actually killed her. I mean, let's be fair.
Probably.
But this film leaves it... I mean, honestly, the film doesn't really do anything to convince the audience that she did kill him, because it really seems out of... I mean, since we see everything...
The director does leave it open to interpretation for the viewer. And
that's not the focus of the film.
Yeah, I do have an opinion of whether she did it or not. I have a feeling that it was an accident.
Yeah.
And, well, so they were trying to say that she hit him over the head and, you know, he fell over and he died when he hit the ground. That it was premeditated and all of that. I don't believe that. I believe they got into another fight, physical, and she was probably ended up hitting him, or he, you know, they were up on the balcony and he slipped over. Here's the reason why, though. Why are you making a face?
I disagree totally, but go ahead.
Well,
I'm listening.
That one blood spatter part of the film where it shows how it fell and hit the shed and how it dripped down, that means blood came from up high or up above.
Right.
Well, that, I mean, come on. That's, it's not hard.
What?
Conclusive evidence.
But you're saying she hit him.
Probably not her intention, but yeah, I think she did. That's my guess.
I don't think there's any reason not to believe her story as told. Personally, because the film doesn't give me any reason not to.
And her story as told is that he jumped and committed suicide, hit the shed.
Well, she doesn't know, but that's the assumption because she knows she didn't kill him.
Right.
So, you know, now, see, this discussion is what the film wants to do. And this is the discussion that I'm sure, no doubt, this film has this discussion going amongst people everywhere, I'm sure. But that's the point. And that's why, like, the film isn't really, that's why I don't think there's any kind of twist where, like, oh, she actually did kill him. Because that's not the point at all.
No, the director wants it to be open. Yeah, the uncertainty of it all. Sure.
The uncertainty of it is the point. And how these people like hold on to their you know, this mother and son hold on to their family,
right,
with all this inspection and all this doubt and all this you know, learning things about each other that you never have to learn. It's all about that. That's why the film's called Anatomy of a Fall, because it's a fall of the family, not just him. You know, like they were,
yeah,
you
it's know, got it's got
disintegration of the unit. Yeah,
it's got multiple meanings and metaphors and all that stuff. So
yeah. So I honestly think she didn't, just because of that, just because there's no reason for her to have killed him, because that changes the film for me.
Yeah. I mean, theories is that he jumped, hit the shed, and crawled to his inevitable death.
And they do give enough stuff about like potential suicidal tendencies or ideation to at least make it plausible.
And can I ask this? Does PETA not work outside the country?
I almost turned the fucking film off.
Same.
I was like, all right, if the dog's actually dead, Holly was watching that part with me. She didn't watch the whole film, but she was there. She was in and out. And I was like, all right, if the dog's dead, I'm turning this off. I can't handle a dead dog right now, especially looking at a real one. You know, if it's a fake one, I know fake dogs. But that dog staring glassy eyed, I was like, no.
But I'm like, how did they get it? Like, how did they get away with doing that?
If you sedate the animal, I don't know. I didn't read into it. I'm sure there's an article somewhere about it.
There has to be. Because it also looked like that dog really did throw up too.
Yeah,
I mean, it was probably a puke pack, but it's
can you train a dog to use a puke pack?
No, I think you just put it under its mouth, and they just shot it from an angle, and they just.
Oh yeah,
they did it. But I'm like, what the fuck? Because the way that dog's tongue was hanging out the side of its mouth. That's not something you train.
Kill another person. Please just don't fucking start. I'm not ready for that.
And that's why I'm thinking PETA's that probably outside of their jurisdiction. Probably don't give a shit.
You don't think there's a French chapter of the PETA?
Maybe they're a little more lenient.
No. Honestly, if there was something done to the dog, I think we would have heard about it by now. So
was obviously fine, but maybe it was like, listen, this dog needed to have a tooth pulled, so we
what I'm saying
we
is
lined it up with the scene.
I feel like we're not the first people to see this film, and we're definitely not the first people to have a strong reaction to that dog scene.
Yeah.
So I feel like if there was anything wrong about that, I feel like it would have been exposed by now.
Listen, people were walking out of what was that movie called? The Woman.
The Woman. Yeah, I was actually thinking about that today.
They walked out of that film like with some strong reactions, and guess what? It was one guy
with his wife, and he was an asshole looking for attention. Hold on. It was planned.
Hold on.
Here's a secret. Talk about the house that Jack built with the duck scene.
Yeah, everybody. Here's a secret. It wasn't real.
Yeah,
it's like this still, for the in the woman. It's like it's fake.
Well, no, he was just again. That guy was an asshole.
Well, he was. But it's a movie.
The people that walked out of the house that Jack's built, I can understand. You know, there's a.
I still haven't watched that yet.
Oh, really?
I know.
Dude, you gotta.
I know.
Watch Beau's Afraid first. But anyway, we're talking about Anatomy of a Fall.
All right.
It's a straight courtroom drama. So there's a lot of time in court.
Yes.
A lot of long, quiet scenes. A lot of dialogue. I mean, it's a character study.
No, I can see why it was nominated.
Her lawyer is
I could see why. I can see why it was nominated for screenplay.
Oh yeah, definitely very competent screenplay. And if you're into courtroom procedurals,
right.
This is right up your alley. This is like an episode of LA or.
Well, it's also a courtroom drama in a different country, so it's different than what we're used to. So it's that alone makes it interesting, at least for this part of the world. So.
But even then, even in a foreign country, their prosecutors are dicks too. So
yeah.
Oh. And I swear, the judge or barrister or whatever she was, I swear I've seen her in a horror film. Argento or something. I swear maybe. I've seen. I didn't look it up, but
maybe.
It wasn't what if I watched the film. What I don't like about it is if I watched the film without knowing anything, which I kind of did, and you don't have an idea that it's
I went in totally blind.
What?
I went in blind. The only thing that I knew is that she was on trial for potentially killing her husband, and that's
So you kept waiting for like the big reveal, like the kid, like, oh yeah, I heard something.
I'm like, all right, something's.
I think it.
Something's going to turn somewhere.
I'm not. I wasn't surprised when the film ends. I was like, okay, yeah. I kind of felt that. You know, I kind of got the idea that at a certain point that's where it's going to go. But I mean, when she goes in his bed at the end and like hugs him, and he like hugs her head. I was like, all right. He snaps her neck and throws her over the railing. You got to give me that because I sat through this whole thing and this is a lot of talking.
Well, you know, at the very end of the movie, you know, it doesn't fade to black. It credits roll on top of the scene. The dog, she lays down on the bed. You know, it's over. It's over. She's been acquitted. Again, spoiler alert. Always expect that. She's been acquitted. They don't have enough evidence, whatever you want to call it. The dog hops on the bed with her and then lays down. And kind of like snuggles up against her. Now again,
she snuggles up against the dog. She hugs him.
Yeah, but he doesn't run away either. So
no.
The director, what the director I feel is doing there is one of two things. One, you know, the dog is loyal no matter what. You know, make your own interpretations. Like even if she did do it, the dog is just going to be like, listen, I'm loyal. You feed me. I love you. Whatever, because that's what a dog does. Or the director is saying she truly didn't do it, and the dog knows that too. I mean, it's an interpretive scene. You know, obviously it exists for a reason.
I think the husband came back and embodied the dog.
Oh, yeah, that's a different type of movie, though.
Yeah.
I'd still watch that movie.
Yeah, the dog's kind of an objective correlative throughout the film, if that applies in film. It's really more of a literary term,
right.
But like he kind of represents the family, a part of the family unit. But also at the, during the third act, at the end, when the son comes up and testifies, and he talks about that time when they took the dog to the vet the last time they poisoned him, and
by accident,
and the father gives him that whole speech, and the kid's like, I think he was talking about himself, not the dog. I think he was saying that when he's gone, you know. And so, but that comparison, you are kind of putting him and the dog in the same kind of light. And so it's kind of the end is kind of her regaining the intimacy of her family, which this whole thing tore apart. Because again, in the limelight of this, like she couldn't even spend personal time with her son, and then he gets to the point where he doesn't want to be the same place with her because he's having trouble figuring out what's going on. Right. Her whole family has been torn apart. Her whole life's kind of like been exposed.
Well, also,
that's a return to intimacy and comfort. That's how I took it.
Well, no, you're right, because she's also, here's another part of the story, she's an author, a well-known author. We talked about that earlier, but later on in the film, there are talk shows talking about what she's written and comparing it to the trial, saying, look, she definitely did it because she wrote about it. And all of these comparisons and parallels from her real life have made it into her books, and they even do it in the courtroom. The one lawyer is reading from her book, saying, look, see, and the defending lawyer is like, listen, that's a book, that's not facts, and you know, stuff like that. So yeah, exactly. So
in one sense, setting her up as a writer, again, that's like if I'm watching a film and I don't know this isn't a whodunit, I'm like, writer, that's got to come into play. No, it's not. But what it does is it shows how she's used to controlling, like, narratives, and that help. I mean, that, like, it works as far as making her suspicious to the general public, but also for us, it shows, like, here's a person that's used to being in control and telling the story, and now no one's listening to her story. She can't tell the story, and she doesn't even know what the story is. And so that, no. I mean, that comes in, so it comes into play too, but not in the way that a whodunit would.
True. Yeah, exactly. It's, I mean,
what if the dog did it? Like, no, the dog was with the kid. Damn it!
Well, they did talk about that too. You know, like the first time that the dog, they took the dog to the hospital. They lined up the story of the husband trying to commit suicide the first time, vomiting, and then the dog eating his vomit.
Right.
Eating his vomit and then getting sick, and they had to take him to the vet. So that was thrown in there, and it was, I mean, dogs eat some weird shit, so you know it's easily written into the script. But
I think the importance of having those whodunit elements in the film, though, is to show the audience how susceptible they are to doing the exact same thing that like the rest of the world is doing to this woman,
right?
And I think that's important to the film, because if you didn't have that, if you had that detachment, then you'd think that it was just all crazy. But there's no outrage about this happening. It's almost like this has to happen. We have to find out what happened. Right. So that does legitimize it in that sense and help us focus on the characters.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So what's it up for, sir? I think you said before.
Yeah, it's up for Best Picture, directing, Best Performance by an Actress in a Leading Role. Best Actress, Sandra Hüller. Best Original Screenplay and Best Film Editing. Picture, no.
No.
I don't think it's, no. Directing.
Director?
I was actually surprised that, no, I do think Christopher Nolan's going to get directing. But I was surprised that this film, I mean, it's, you know how my thing is, it's one of the five, because directing is there. I mean, this is a good film.
Yeah, it's a very good film. It's a solid film.
And there's no doubt about it.
And I think it's important that with such an extended Best Picture category now, it's important for the Academy to include films like this that have an artistic merit way beyond the blockbuster shit they want to jam in there.
Of course. Best Actress in a Leading Role? No. I think it's good. I think it's going to Lily Gladstone in Killers of the Flower Moon, but Screenplay. That's your category. What's it up against?
Original screenplay. It's up against Holdovers, Maestro, May December, and Past Lives. I'm still a Holdovers fan.
Yeah. Actually, if those are the choices, it could be Anatomy, this or Holdovers.
Yeah, Anatomy of Fall would be my close second.
Yeah. And then film editing. I mean, I think that's going to Oppenheimer just because of what that film is. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch this movie and think, man, the editing on this is great.
No, that's, well, I mean,
you're especially used to after of the first for, 20 minutes.
We're used to thinking of editing in fast films and right. You know, quick paced films or confusing films.
For us veterans, I also think of it as pacing too. But like I said, when the first 20-25 minutes where I'm like, this is wrong. Something's wrong. I was like, this movie got nominated for editing, directing.
And is it wrong for me to say that blind people are just creepy?
Yes, that is wrong. You can't.
Okay, then I won't say that.
Don't say
that. But that kid, he's not completely blind.
He's partially blind.
That's even worse. When they have the shots of him, like the close up shots of just him, just staring at you could easily put like horror music in that. That's fucking like the Omen right there.
What's interesting about it is they had some really good contacts for him to wear because you couldn't see the outline.
That kid scared the shit out of me.
I'm sorry.
I just if he had killed her at the end, I wouldn't have been surprised.
But like, yep, killed them both.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. Finally, a film goes where I expect it to go. good film as far as rating it. I mean, on the
it's a 7.8.
It's such a straight, meticulous character study / courtroom drama that I really don't have any notes on specific scenes, except that I loved the blood splatter. Expert for the defense.
Oh, right.
Yeah. The one that's bending over is like, no, not impossible, very improbable. So you mean impossible? It's like, because the look on her face, I feel like that every time someone pulls that shit on me. Yeah. There's no such thing as there's no such thing as impossible. There's just very, very improbable.
Right. And one thing I noticed.
No scientist is going to tell you 0% chance. None. Yeah. There's no such thing.
One thing I noticed in this film is no one gets to sit down when they're on trial. Everybody has a stand. So yeah, it's like all the witnesses, they come to the bench, you know, mm-hmm. Or the gate, and they have to stand there. They don't get to sit down like we have it in our court system. I thought that was interesting.
Sure.
It's like, yeah. And when you're done, you don't get to ask, you don't go back. You just stand there until
maybe they talk to you again. Yeah, the setup with the bleachers. Yeah, the bleachers kind of set up kind of threw me off too. I was like, yeah, not what we're used to here in the States.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
Well, it made it interesting. But, it was definitely a different perspective for sure.
And I also got to say the word chalet.
Chalet.
Holly's like, what happened to him? Did he like get hit or something? No, he fell. Says from what? The chalet. Ha-ha.
French bread.
Again, what are the only three words you need to know in French?
Ha-ha. French fries.
French
dressing. Anybody out there know where I'm doing this from? Anybody?
Pee-wee Herman. That's Pee-wee Herman.
That is not Pee-wee Herman.
What?
We would like to welcome our guests, especially Monique.
Oh, better off dead. Okay.
Our French exchange student. And tonight I've served French bread.
Mm-hmm.
French fries
and Peru.
Yeah.
Anyway, IMDb currently has Anatomy of a Fall at 7.8.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be the first one. Well, we've given a 7. I don't think this deserves a 7. I think this is a solid.
I
a solid. 8.
based on what we've said in the previous ones, this is definitely a solid 8.
Yeah.
I'm glad it was nominated for Best Picture. I don't know if it really belongs in the category, but it's definitely an exceptional film. I would recommend it to anybody, but I would tell them up front. I would tell them right up front, it's not a whodunit. I'll tell you how it ends. That's not important.
Yeah, right. Yeah, just don't. And also,
they
it's like
tell it on the. They should tell it on the posters. It'd be Anatomy of Fall in parentheses. She didn't do it. It's not why you're there.
Yeah,
but I understand it would ruin it. But still, I just feel like that's important.
Well, also, it's like don't expect build up music, bellowing music. Don't expect like a really crazy score. Don't expect
any
of that
music.
Stuff.
Was there any music?
Not really. No.
No, there's no real score. I mean,
except for that music that's really loud in the beginning, that's kind of it for music.
You know, and that it's really a realism-based film.
Yeah.
And so unlike Killers of the Flower Moon, where that soundtrack, when that score was driving the interest and driving the emotion of the film, this film, it's purely what the actors, they're driving everything in this film.
Yep.
They perfectly guide the emotions of the audience without a soundtrack.
Definitely. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So I would say just for that alone, I think this is definitely worth an 8.
Oh, it's a solid 8.
Yeah.
We're both in agreement. 8. All right.
Yes.
Beautiful thing. Let's call it a night.
Speaking of beautiful things.
Yeah.
Oh, I had nothing, sorry.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Let's do this. All right, everybody.
Sure.
Thank you again for joining us for another episode of Movie Sucktastic, episode 408. Just racking them up, knocking them down.
Oh, yeah.
You can go to our website at moviesucktastic.com. Listen, download, watch the show right from our website. You can go to iTunes, and you can listen to the show there as well. Go to facebook.com/moviesucktastic. Just look at everything that we've been posting lately. You can also leave us email. It's themovieguys@moviesucktastic.com. You want to leave us voicemail, it's 908-514-4470. If you would like to download our podcast app, go to moviesucktastic.com/mst.apk. Or download your favorite podcast player and just do a search for Movie Sucktastic. We're in there. It's in there. Like Prego. It's in there. No, Franco's disgusting. Do you have any words of wisdom, Mr. Wilson? Wow. Okay.
Oui, monsieur.
I apologize for everyone. I'm sorry. I'll apologize for Scott. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Or maybe not. Scott's on a business trip. We'll see what happens. And we'll do our last two Oscar nominations for Best Picture. And that'll be Zone of Interest and Poor Things. Those will be the next ones. All right, everybody. Bye-bye.
Au revoir.